Well, more than anything, people just want to be happy. But according to a recent Gallup poll, 70% of Americans say they don't like their jobs. The Harris Index does a happiness poll every year. And last year, it was the lowest poll that was in recent memory. Only 31% of Americans said that they were very happy. That means two-thirds of Americans say that they're either like sort of happy or they're not happy at all. People want to be happy, but sometimes there's this disconnect between what we want to experience and what we end up experiencing. And today I want to talk to you about how to really be happy. How to really be happy. The scripture has so much to say to us about this powerful topic. And I want us to open our Bibles to the first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. Psychology Today released an article recently called The Road to Happiness. And in this article, they pointed out that since 1960, Americans have twice the income that we had back in the day, 1960. But we have three times as many teen suicides. We have twice as many divorces. And we have depression rates that are soaring. So again, there's just this huge disconnect, but people want to be happy. I think many times we're focused on the things that our culture and the world tells us that we have to be happy, but yet God's prescription for happiness, for blessing, for prosperity, for wholeness, and so many other things is something that is a totally different equation. It's something that's totally different than what we hear and the messages that we hear in our culture and the media and so many other things. And so today we want to unpack what it means to truly be blessed, because the word blessed is a synonym for happy. So when it says blessed is the man in Psalm 1:1, it means happy. Happy is the person. Happy is the person. And let's look at this together, because God doesn't want us just to survive. He wants us to thrive in all that we do. And today we want to get happy God's way. Amen? Amen. The Bible's a little contrarian, okay? Here we go. And I want you to write down this little formula today, and this is not on your outline, and I'm sorry, note taker people, this may frustrate you because you got to write this in the margin, but write this down, okay? This is just for free bonus stuff, bonus material right here. Right people, okay? This is mathematical. Right people plus right perspective equals right path, okay? Right people plus right perspective equals right path. Okay, you'll see where we're going today. First of all, right people. Who's your crew? Who's the people that intimately speak into your life? If we want to be happy, we got to have the right people around us, the right folks. Who's your crew? Who's your crew? Look at this in verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers, or mockers. And Psalm 1 starts off with what to not do. How many of you know this? In the Bible, there are things that we are to do, and there are things that we are not to do. In Psalm 1:1, King David, the king of Israel, says, listen, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, it begins by hanging with the right people. Don't hang with the wicked. Don't spend time with the sinners. Don't be chilling with all the people that are leading you on the path of destruction. Don't do that. I love this word blessed, though, because this word blessed in the Hebrew language is a plural. It's a plural verb, blessed. Multitudes of blessings, tons of blessings, plethora of blessings. The person that gets with the right people will be greatly blessed. Notice it doesn't say how much money you have or how many accolades that you've won or how many degrees you've earned or who you know, but blessed is the person who has the right counsel, has the right people in their life. I used to think that being happy was kind of like natural, but the older I get, maybe I get more cynical, I don't know. I think that being unhappy is natural. Being happy is something you got to work on. Amen? You got to work on it. You got to focus on. You got to be disciplined. And part of working on that is putting our lives around the right the right people. Notice this progression here in verse 1. He starts off by saying, who doesn't walk in step with. So we're walking with the wicked, or we're standing. And standing is a little more intimate than walking. And then he says, sit in the company of mockers. In other words, when we walk, we start listening to the wrong crowd. When we stand, we stay for a while. And when we sit, we get very comfortable with the wrong company, with the wrong people, with the wrong folks, with the wrong people. You know, the New Testament echoes this. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You could be a great person. You hang around with the wrong people, begin to pull you down. Proverbs 14 says this, stay away from fools or you won't learn a thing. There's two extremes. Some people don't listen to anybody, and other people listen to everybody, and both are problematic. Who's your counsel today? Who's your counsel? Who's the people that intimately influence the decisions of your life? Do you have people you listen to? Do you just doing your own thing? I don't need anybody. I'm kind of doing off over here. Or do you listen to everybody? I mean, one moment somebody's telling you God's word, and another moment somebody's telling you something way over here, and you're just like, I don't know what to do, you know? We got to have the right counsel, the right people. Now, should we be friends with everybody? Of course. Yeah, we can be kind. We can be gracious. We love everybody. But listen, there's something that is so different about letting certain people into those intimate decisions of our life. In other words, when we're making moral, ethical, or spiritual decisions, we need to be very selective about the people who have a seat at the table. Not everybody can do that. And for some of us, that may mean that we have to rework some old friendships, right? It may mean that some old relationships may need to die. Amen. You may be the only Christ follower in your family, and you love your family, but when they start giving advice, oh my goodness, you know? I can't go there. I can't listen to that, right? Because I'm getting the wrong counsel. I was talking to somebody the other day. They were like, Pastor, I need to quit sinning. And I was like, what's going on? And he said, you know, I got this neighbor and we do this and that kind of stuff. And I was like, why are you friends with that guy? And he said, well, because he's my neighbor. He lives on my street. And I said, I hope that you have a more sophisticated criteria to pick your friends than just the proximity with which a person lives. Amen. We should be selective. We need the people of God speaking into our lives, not just anybody and anybody. Well, we've been friends since high school. You know, I see this all the time. Young adults come to Christ here at Edge Church, and they want to hang with all their friends from high school and college. And that's cool, except that the friends from high school and college are going this direction. And now in Christ, you're going this direction, and they start to pull you this direction. Amen? Yeah. So we got to have a filter. Listen, if you want to be blessed of God, get the right people around you. When you find people who love Jesus Christ, people who love God's word, people who are active in the local church, do you know what happens? It begins to elevate your game. Right? It's like in athletics, if you want to become a better player, what do you go practice with the third graders, or you go practice with guys that are better than you? You're going to elevate your game when you play and you get on the court with people who are better than you are. Yeah, man, I hope you have some people that you get around them. You're like, man, I just want to love God. I want to love my wife. I want to serve other people And man, I just feel encouraged. I mean, you know, I've been around so-and-so, and I'm just, my spirit is lifted. Other people, begins to tear us down, doesn't it? Yeah, I think this is exactly what the psalmist is talking about, the godly and the ungodly. Several years ago, I wanted to hire an athletic trainer, and I went over to the gym, and they said, Ryan, we've got two guys that could train you. We got trainer A and trainer B. And the first guy was a guy that looked like he weighed about 140 pounds and looked like he had never been on the bench press before, you know? And I kind of looked at him and I thought, you know, I don't think I ever want to hire a personal trainer that I can beat them up. I mean, if I can take you out, you shouldn't be my trainer. And they had another guy, I think his name was like Bubba or Fido or something like that. He was like ripping out of his shirt, you know, big, huge guy. I was like, I want him to be my trainer. Listen, man, when we're thinking about our spiritual life, we need to get around people who have some spiritual muscle, right? Some people that have some strength, some vitality, some fire in their bones. You know, I want that guy to, I don't want that guy, I want that guy. You know, I don't want a skinny trainer. I want a muscle trainer. I want some Christian friends who got muscle, who got power, who got authority, who have faith, because that's going to get on me. That's what I want. That's what we need. Man, I think it's great to consult people that are not Christians about, you know, how to fix your car. And, you know, you can have a non-Christian cable guy and you can have a non-Christian guy mow your yard and all kinds of things like that. But, man, when it comes to those intimate decisions in our life, we need people that are full of the Word of God, you know. I'm the least handy person in the universe. I have two screwdrivers in my toolbox. I got a flathead and a Phillips head. Beyond that, I'm not much help. If you ever call me and say, Pastor, can you come over and help me fix my car? You are in bad trouble. If you ever see me here at the church with a tool in my hand, you're like, Armageddon is about to happen, right? It's not good. Yeah, I'm the worst person. Now, if you want to talk about the Lord, you want to talk about the Scripture, you want to talk about theology, you want to talk about the NFL, hey, I can be a good friend, you know? We can have some conversations about that. But there's some things I got nothing to offer. And in friendships, there's sometimes people, they're on a path, the Bible calls them the wicked, the scornful, the mockers, they're on a path that's different from the path that you're wanting to go on. And if you want to be blessed, you got to get the right counsel in your life. Can't hang with the wrong people. Can't hang with the wrong people. If we want to get to where we're really blessed, we got to have the right folks around us. Okay, so right people plus what? Right perspective equals right path. Okay, what's right perspective? Okay, here's the second question. Where's your mind set? What is your mind set on? But whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night? Okay, again, we want to be prosperous. We want to be successful. We want to be happy. Number one, got to get the right people. Number two, I got to get the right perspective, the right mindset. My mind is set on the Word of God. Okay? He delights in the law of God. What is the law of God? The law of God is the Word of God. When King David penned these words, he was talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. I'm telling you today, God has increased His law, His Word, manyfold. We have 66 books of the Bible today. So you got 66 flavors. King David had five. Would you rather go to the ice cream store that has five flavors or the one across the street that has 66? We got 66 flavors of the Word of God that we should delight in. And notice he uses that word delight because a lot of people think that reading Scripture and coming to church and thinking about God's Word and whatever it may be is boring. It's like obligation, right? Like duty. Like, I'm going to feel bad if I don't, or you know, I need to do this to be a good person. I'm under obligation. For many people, the Word of God is kind of like eating vegetables, you know? I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, you've been cooking asparagus. We've been married 20 years. You've been cooking asparagus 20 years. I got to tell you, I hate asparagus. And she was like, I feel so bad. I cook it all the time. And I'm like, well, I never complain because I know it's good for me to eat. And so I am a little disappointed, just to like be honest with you, but I do eat it because I know that asparagus is darn good. You know, if it tastes bad, it's really good for you, right? The worst tasting medicine always makes you feel the best, right? If medicine tastes good, you need to be suspicious of what you're taking, okay? I think sometimes we look at the Word of God like eating asparagus. I will consume it, but I want to do it because I just know that I have to, but not because I delight in it. The Word of God is something that is to be enjoyed. It's something that should bring pleasure to us. It's like going to your favorite restaurant and ordering the finest meal. It's like eating your favorite dessert. It's like seeing your favorite sports team be victorious. It brings pleasure to us. We get excited about the Word of God. It's not a duty, it's a delight. It's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to speak to us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to bless us. See, if we want to be people that God blesses our lives, we want to be people truly happy, we need to quit being focused on all this other stuff. We need to find our delight in the Word of God. Right there. Delight in it. Delight in it. Delight in it. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I would still delight in the Word of God, each and every one of them. It's that good. It's so great. And sometimes we delight in our own sin, but the Scripture tells us that sin is fun for a what? For a season, right? The Word of God brings delight always, not for a season. Have you ever done something you knew was wrong and you're like, oh, it was great, and then you felt terrible about it, and you were so miserable that it canceled out all of the pleasure you had when you were doing it? See, the Word of God's not like that. It's not like it. It just brings delight. It brings pleasure. It helps us to walk in the light. Helps us to walk in God's abundance and His power and His strength. And I love this because it says His delight, or whose delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, present tense. It continues to happen. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm delighting in the Word of God. Now, I want you to help me with these popular phrases. I want you to help me fill in the blanks. Okay, are you guys ready? Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Yeah, you guys are awesome. How about this? Hit me, baby, one more time. Yeah. Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. Okay. Like a good neighbor. Where there's a will, there's a Somebody got real excited about that one. They're like, oh, I know that one. Absence makes the heart grow. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Man, it's getting deep in here, isn't it? Between a rock and a... All good things. Don't cry over. Yeah, here's a scripture. Your word I've hidden in my heart that... Yeah, I think two of us knew that one, right? Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome if we knew God's word as much as we know the lyrics of our favorite songs and our favorite commercials? Wouldn't that be amazing? If the word of God just poured out of us, you know? Somebody gave you a phrase and you're like, oh, I can finish that, you know? Boom. That's what it is. How do we know these phrases? Because we've heard them over and over and over. When I said hit me, baby, one more time, some of you started moving your hips, you know? Some of you were like about to do all of the dance motions from the Britney Spears video from 19-whatever. You got excited. Wouldn't it be amazing if we knew the Word of God as much as we knew the lyrics to songs and the words to commercials and all of the other things that we hear in our culture? That's what it means to delight in God's Word, to delight in it. The person that's really happy today, I'm talking about real happy today, not fake happy, but really happy, delights in the Word of God, brings pleasure to us, brings pleasure to us. I was never a studier in my whole life. I was never a studier until I started growing in my Christian faith. And I tell you, man, when I started walking with God, I became like the biggest nerd ever, you know? People were like, what is wrong with him, you know? My friends at college were like, hey, Ron, let's go to the club tonight. And I was like, no, man, I'm studying tonight, man. I'm in the Word tonight. I can't do that, you know? What's wrong with him? Yeah, I was delighting in the Word of God. I couldn't get away from it. Nobody told me I had to. I wasn't under obligation. I just loved what God was doing in my life and what he was speaking to me and how he was giving me strength and power and passion and so many other things. I started hanging out at libraries and bookstores and all kinds of weird places. I mean, it was strange activity going on. I was reading Psalm 27:14. I was reading my devotional. Every day I read a devotional by Charles Spurgeon and start the day off with that and often end the day with it because it's called Morning and Evening. And right here out of Psalm 1, I was reading Psalm 27:14, and Spurgeon, this great preacher from a long, long time ago, said it's easier to do something. Well, the scripture, Psalm 27:14, says wait for the Lord. Okay, let me tell you that. And then in commenting on that, Spurgeon said it's easier to do something and to do it quickly than it is to wait on God. And I was about to make a big decision this week. And man, when I read that, I was like, I got to pump the brakes. Yeah. Is it not easier to just do something because you have a deadline and to force something than to wait and let God open up opportunities, right? Because sometimes we get a little impatient and we want to make something happen. And I was like, boy, thank God for Psalm 27:14. That was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. I couldn't think of a better word for that particular day. That's why we delight in God's word, because every day God is going to give us something practical for our lives. Some people think if they read and study scripture that it's going to be all ethereal and they won't understand. Actually, when you start to really read scripture, you'll find that the Bible is the most user-friendly, applicationable book that has ever been written. And if you're like, I don't understand the Bible, just start to read the Bible. When you start to read it, then you'll start to get an appetite for it. The Bible is an acquired taste, amen? Yeah. I don't think that the very first time that you pick it up, you're just going to be like, this completely makes sense. This was awesome. But if you will meditate on it day and night and night and day after day, then God will do something awesome in your life. Blessed is the person who meditates on God's word day and night. Day and night. People say sometimes, well, I don't know how to meditate. Christian meditation is not Eastern mysticism. Eastern mysticism is empty your mind. Christian meditation is fill your mind with the word of God. Okay? Fill it up. Fill it up. Do you see it? Do you see it? I'm gonna infuse my mind. I'm not trying to empty my mind. I need more of God's word in my mind so I can meditate on it. And you may think, well, meditation, that sounds weird. Do I like sit in the form of a pretzel and think about scripture? You meditate all the time. You just don't know it. Do you know that? When you don't have enough money to pay your bills and you're stressing out and you're like, I could pull the money from there. I don't know what I'm going to do there. Can I pay it late? Can I call them? Can I blah, 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 blah. That's meditation. It's just negative meditation. Okay? Negative meditation. See, we meditate all. When you're like, I got to go to the office tomorrow and have a hard conversation with somebody, and I'm going to tell them this, and I'm going to tell them this, and I'm not going to say that, and then I'm going to tell them this, I'm going to explain that over there. Your mind, you're meditating over and over and over. What the scripture's saying is that we just should meditate on the word of God, right? Yeah, right. So when we're struggling with fear, I need to meditate on verses of scripture like Joshua 1:8-9. Be strong and courageous, okay? When I'm uncertain, I need to meditate on scriptures about God's greatness and God's sovereignty. And we need to find the word of God as the antidote for whatever's going on in our life. So we get our mind focused on that. Right people plus right perspective puts us on the right what? On the right path. Yeah, on the right path. This word meditate actually means in the Hebrew language to talk to yourself. Does anybody here have conversations with themselves? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one because my wife thinks I'm crazy. Sometimes Gina will walk into the bedroom. She's like, who are you talking to? And I was like, oh, I was just having this amazing conversation with me, myself, and I. You won't believe all of the changes in the world that are coming. We just had this great talk, you know. When you meditate on the word of God, you talk to yourself. Because you're trying to figure out how you can apply the word in your life. So if you're reading Psalm 27:14 that I mentioned a minute ago, wait for the Lord, you're like, wait for the Lord. Okay, so what that means is that today I really got this deadline, but I can't make this decision. I really don't think this that God's leading me here, and I don't think God's leading me there. So I'm going to do this, and I'm going to wait, and then I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to ask them for some counsel, and I'm going to pray about it, and then I'm going to do this. And you're meditating. See, your mind's focused. You're trying to figure out how the Scripture is guiding and leading you. Okay, and the person that does that, that's hard, and their mind is focused on God's Word, is the person that will be blessed. The person will be really happy, because then you will have the wisdom of God coming out of your life and out of your mouth. Have you ever been around people before that can just quote Bible? I mean, not like arrogantly or not like preachy, but just like stuff comes up and people just, boom, Scripture just starts, boom, you know, like that. It's an awesome thing. Those are people that meditate on the Word of God, night and day and day and night. As the psalmist says, we ruminate all over it. Ruminate is a synonym for meditate. And we know that cows, when they chew their cud, they ruminate. They chew. And they got like four stomachs. That's why they're so big and fat. They got all these tummies. And they will actually digest the grass, and then they will burp it up, and they'll chew it all over again. And they'll do that until every ounce of nutrient is zapped from that grass. Now, that sounds kind of disgusting. That sounds kind of nasty, doesn't it? That's why we don't have pet cows. But see, to meditate or ruminate over the Word of God is to suck everything out of it. When I meditate on the Word of God, I'm trying to draw every ounce of freedom and wisdom and strength and insight. I'm trying to suck it out. So I'm going to keep chewing on it. I'm going to keep chewing that cud. And when I do so, I will prosper. Right people, right perspective puts us on the right path, the right path. Now, what is the right path? Look at this. Question number three is, what is the outcome? What is the outcome? Look in verse 3 through 6. The person, that person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Dang, that sounds good. Ooh. Not so the wicked, they are like the chaff that the wind blows away. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Yeah, to destruction. So again, we see two lifestyles. Church, we got to decide, are we on a narrow path with God, or are we on the wide path with the wicked? Two lives that are contrasted here. And he says, the person who is focused on the right meditations and the right counsel, they're like a tree planted by the rivers of... Have you ever seen a tree on the edge of a creek bed? And you've seen all of the integral root systems that are exposed. It is amazing. That's why when people cut down trees, they just cut it down and they grind the stump and they put dirt on top of it, right? Because a big tree, you cannot pull the roots out of it. It's too massive. It's too integral. And if you have a tree that's planted by a creek or by a lake or some type of body of water, man, it's almost impossible to kill something like that. At our old house, we had a tree that just kept growing and growing and growing. I'm talking like the neighbors thought I was shooting steroids into this tree. Just every year, the leaves are green. It's growing. The branches, I mean, unbelievable. And right before I moved from that house, one of the neighbors told me that there was an underground stream that ran right in front of our house. And it made so much sense. That tree had tapped into the rivers of living water, and that's why it was so vibrant. See, when we got the right people and the right perspective, then what happens? We get on the right path, don't we? And we're like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Are you planted today? Are you planted in the Word of God? Are the roots of your life tied in? Are they tied down? Or are you a person that is just easily blown away? Notice the author didn't say like a stump or like a twig or like a branch. He says, no, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I mean, it's big, bodacious, large, strong, energetic, vibrant. And the person who meditates day and night will be planted. Are you planted today? Are you planted in the Word of God? Are you planted in the house of God? I got to tell you, there's so many people who change churches every single year. And they never get planted in the house. They never put down roots. They just have like one little bitty, tiny, itty bitty root, and it just kind of grows, and then they pull that up and goes, listen, we got to be planted. We got to be planted in the house of God. We got to be planted in the Word of God, because when we're planted, we will be strong. Listen, you may be the only follower of Jesus in your office. You may be the only Christ follower in your family. You may be the only person who loves Christ in your school. But when you are planted, you cannot be stopped. You cannot be moved. He shall be like a tree planted. God, give us some people who are planted. Planted. And he says, he will bring forth its fruit in its season. You see, the end result of right people, right perspective, is fruit. Fruitfulness. That's how you know you're planted. When your life brings about fruit. He will bring forth, the tree will bring forth fruit in its season. In the proper season, you'll be fruitful. Now, a vibrant tree is alive 12 months out of the year, but it only produces fruit during the growing season. But a healthy tree is still healthy in November, December, and January. It may not have all the branches and the leaves, but it's still kicking. It's still cooking, right? But in the proper season, it will bring forth fruit. Bring forth fruit. And in our lives, fruitfulness is the indication of right people, right perspective, and right plan. And listen, you want to really be happy? Be a Christian who produces great fruit. What's the fruit we produce? The fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, self-control, a whole bunch of other stuff. When we are plugged in and we are meditating day and night on the Word of God, then the fruit comes out of us. See, that's how we get happy. I got peace in my life, fruit of the Spirit. I got joy in my life, fruit of the Spirit. I got patience, even though I want to strangle them. I still got patience, fruit of the Spirit in my life. And when we meditate on the Word of God, then fruit comes out, fruit comes forth. And when we're planted by the rivers of water, fruit. Unfortunately, verses 4 and 5 say that the ungodly person, they're not rooted. Notice the contrast here. There's the rooted, and then there's the unrooted. There's the chaff, he says. And if you look there in verse 4, again, he says, not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. I mean, listen, when you're not anchored, then you are easily blown over. That's why so many people who don't have the strength of God in their life, they go into a storm and they just crash and crater. Because they don't have Christ in their life. Their mind isn't on the Word of God. They don't have strength. You know, and I feel sorry for people like that. I want to help people like that. Some of you are here today because maybe your heart hadn't been on the things of God. And you're seeing, man, things are caving in around me. I need the Lord. I need to get my heart and my mind and my relationships focused another direction. Yeah. When you do that, you'll bring forth fruit. And listen, you could be in the greatest desert of your life and still bring about fruit. All hell can be breaking loose in your life, and you can still have peace and joy and love and kindness and goodness. You may have just gotten the worst news that you have ever received this week, and yet the peace of God is in your life. And your mind is on the things of God. We need to get happy. We need to get happy God's way. And quit trying to synthesize and to make up our own ideas and paths and all this stuff. Listen, that stuff doesn't work. When we got the right people, with the right perspective, we get on the right path and the right plan for God to bring His abundance into our lives. Into our lives. And then He says He will prosper. In other words, He will be successful. To prosper, to be successful, means that you bear fruit no matter what. That's what it means. I'm just going to keep bearing fruit. Listen, man, I don't know how discouraged you are. You put your mind on the things of God. You get your heart set on the things of God. And you're going to bear fruit. You're going to be fruitful. You didn't even think it was possible to be fruitful. But God is going to do something amazing in your life. It's going to be amazing. The ungodly person hits a dead end and doesn't know what to do. The godly person, the Bible says in verse 6, God is watching over you. God's watching over you. Everybody else counted you out. Nobody else knew what to do. But God was watching out for you. Right people plus right perspective puts us on the right path so that we can experience God's abundance and His joy and His happiness. Let's bow together for a word of prayer.